Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for the homily is the epistle for the day, Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. At times, we may not be as sensitive as we should be to the thought of Judgment Day. This, in spite of the fact that the Nicene Creed, which we shall confess together in a few minutes, contains the words, "And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead." Especially if things are going well, we are tempted to postpone thinking about Christ's return. Our text contains a call to accountability before God, provides spiritual motivation for our lives as Christians, and comforts and assures us as we anticipate our own death or Christ's return with glory, whichever comes first. The theme for the homily is the Christian life in the light of eternity. Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 11, comes from a longer unit in which St. Paul encouraged his readers to put into practice the implications of their Christian faith. St. Paul reminded his readers that Christians should treat each other as Christians, even though there were differences of opinion in regard to lifestyle. We are not told what specific incidents were behind Paul's admonitions, or as one commentator put it, Paul's touch of edifying exhortation. St. Paul indicated that differences of opinion regarding what a person eats or does not eat, and when and how a person worships the Lord, should not become causes for dissension, division, and animosity among Christians. He reminded his readers that each of them belonged to God, and every one of them belonged to each other through faith. Yet Judgment Day was not Paul's special focus in this wider section of the book of Romans. Our text derives its Judgment Day emphasis from the liturgical and pericopal context. Our chapel speaker yesterday pointed out that the calendar of the church year in Lutheran worship designated last Sunday as the third last Sunday of the church year, and began the countdown to the last Sunday of the church year. The liturgical countdown is intended to remind us of the end of the world of time and space and the imminent return of Jesus Christ to claim his church. Also, the lessons for the one-year series for the third last Sunday of the church year, which were read from the lectern this morning, focus on judgment. Exodus 32 carries the judgment theme with the punishment for the construction of the golden calf. The gospel reading points to the chaotic coming of the kingdom of God. The words of our text, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of God," call us to accountability. In whom do we trust? Do we trust in ourselves, or in the salvation and forgiveness provided by Jesus Christ? How are our lives reflecting our relationship with God in our relationship with one another? In the light of the judgment motif, a sense of urgency calls us to examine our relationship to God and to people around us. Whether we continue to live physically or die physically, we are the Lord's. Though we are believers in Christ as Savior now, all of us started in the same spiritual condition. We were dead in our sins. Indeed, we are also the very enemies of God. By God's grace, we are related to him through faith. And as Christians, we are related to one another through faith. Paul uses the word brothers to indicate the relationship that is ours. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. There is no room for pride and petty rivalry. There is no room for contention. There is no time for neglecting to show love and concern for the brothers and sisters of the household of faith. The spiritual motivation included in our text points to the fact that Christ died and rose again, or as another translation puts it, lived again. In Romans chapter 6, Paul wrote, "We have been buried with him in baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." As St. John wrote in his first epistle, we are God's children now. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life now. Words of our text also provide comfort and assurance as we anticipate our own death and/or the return of Christ in glory. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be both Lord of the dead and the living. Thanks be to God, we are the Lord's for time and eternity. Grace and peace from Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen.